The following paid program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I'm your host, Kenneth John. With me is my very excellent producer, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fantastic today. How are you?
Doing fine. Doing all right. I'm all okay.
Did you enjoy your brunch yesterday?
I had dinner at my brother's and it was
ham.
It was very enjoyable. Ham.
Deviled eggs?
I made deviled eggs.
Yeah. See, I know what's on the menu.
Yeah.
It's on the menu.
And I made, I guess it's a Czech dish, green beans with a sour cream dill sauce.
Oh, yeah?
And it's,
it's delicious,
out of this
huh?
world.
Yeah,
it's
good,
delicious.
Good.
Some people, it probably doesn't sound too good, but it's wonderful.
Good, good.
So it was fun, and I had some good conversations with my two brothers who haven't seen in a while, actually, and was shocked. And one or two may be listening today, I don't know, but I was really shocked to hear how they would support Mitt Romney. For
really?
President. The hatred for Obama is so extreme out there.
Yep.
That and they're not racist. I know a lot of people think this is a racist thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the hatred of Obama is so extreme they're willing to go for Mitt Romney would be worse in my opinion. I just fly off the handle about this stuff. He'd be worse than Bush.
Ouch.
Which is pretty darn bad.
Ouch.
Pretty darn bad. And of course, and I'm a nutcase because I believe the conspiracy of vote fraud and all that. So I spent most of my morning today not preparing for my radio show.
Okay.
But citing chapter and verse with links to all the examples of vote fraud that's been going on this primary and caucus season.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yes. It was exhausting, actually. So I hope they actually look at it. Because to me, it's insurmountable evidence that there's some crap going on.
Uh-huh.
Even if not all of it is outright fraud, it's certainly gaming of the system by the establishment to shut out to make Ron Paul people second-class citizens. And if they think that the Ron Paul people are going to support Romney for president, they're nuts. And Romney doesn't have a chance in hell of winning without Ron Paul supporters. The most energetic activists, young, up-and-coming movement in generations. Mitt Romney and Santorum, they get 100 people. Maybe they're lucky. They have a good day. They have 1,000 people to their campaign events. Now, let's see. Over the past few weeks, I think Michigan State, Ron Paul, attracted 4,500 people. At the U of I in Champaign, 4,600 people. At the University of Wisconsin in Madison, 5,200 people. Then he went to California last week. Cal State, 6,200 people. Berkeley, I've heard it was like 6,800 people. And UCLA, some estimates over 10,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
Attending Ron Paul events. You cannot tell me with all that fervent support, oh, it's just young people who are against the war and they don't vote. Bullcrap. Bullcrap. You can't tell me that this isn't a burgeoning movement that's being trying to be just shut out. And I try to point out to them that they don't have to have vote fraud in every state in order to determine what happens. All they had to do was set something right from the beginning. Change the narrative. If Ron Paul really won Iowa, which I believe he did, and took a stronger second than it showed, and actually took second in South Carolina, which regression analysis pretty much proves, instead of fourth, the whole narrative of the campaign would be different. Ron Paul would be electable, and people would be voting for him now. To say nothing else about all the vote fraud in Athens, Georgia, and St. Charles County, Missouri, and North Dakota, and you name it. And I finally ended up my little message to the, you know, I could go on and on.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll stop here. Hopefully you're seeing a pattern. Now,
Ken, I just want to let you know that you have to be patient.
Yeah.
I know it's horrible. You got to be patient. This stuff that's going on today, in my estimation, will take place 20 years from today.
20 years?
It will finally come to fruition for – I mean, look at all the big sit-ins and stuff that happened in the 60s.
By that time, I think we really will be a third world country.
You think?
In 20 years.
I don't know about that. I think what you want is going to happen in about 20 years.
Well, and you may be right. And I have said to my other more pessimistic friend, Ron Paul friends and Liberty supporters,
mm-hmm.
that I don't know if I'm ever going to see this in my real freedom change in my lifetime.
It might not happen.
But it's going to happen, and yeah. I do think this is the turning point.
I have to go with you.
You agree with me on that.
I have to go with you, absolutely.
And so it's just a matter of how long. And I agree with all that, but it's still infuriating when you see the outright, and you're right, and I mentioned this to my brothers, my little email note to him too, that there's nothing stopping an idea whose time has come. And it's
mm-hmm.
obvious to me that the time has come, and it's only a matter of time. But again, it gets infuriating when you see all the shenanigans going on, and then people wanting to, just don't get it. I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Supporting Mitt Romney. I don't get it. Sorry. I don't think there's any difference. Romney may be worse than Obama. All right. On to the stupid and or outrageous regulation of the week. And this is a cautionary tale from across the pond, as they say, in Great Britain. A cautionary tale about... National socialized medicine and what would be coming if the Supreme Court doesn't beat down Obama on health care, which I think he will after Obama's comments the past week, by the way, we should talk about too, trying to instruct the Supreme Court on how to vote. Is that about the most stupid political move you could ever make? I think they're going to swat him down so hard, he won't be able to sit for a month.
Nice.
And I think they're gonna knock out everything, not just the mandate, the whole law. And I've been wrong before. That's my prediction. So anyway,
if I can go back in time for just
sure,
a minute
sure,
to go back
sure.
to the voter frauding that you think
yes.
is going on. As I said, the things gonna be in the future, 20 years from now, you have to be patient for these things to happen. There's gotta be something you can do right now to prevent voter fraud, to get on top of things. Like, I'm not saying that you have to wait 20 years to do anything. What about becoming election officials? What about getting control of your own voting in your own precinct?
Oh, you're absolutely right. We should be doing all that, and there is some movement to that. The Revolution PAC, one of Ron Paul's super PACs, is actually setting up exit polling
mm-hmm.
At various caucuses and primaries.
And there's got to be something that you can
that
do
sort of
to
you're absolutely right. They're threatening in Nevada to just try to knock it all out. But there are instances where in Washington State, Nevada, others, that the Ron Paul people are pretty much taking over the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it happened in Clark County, Nevada, and of course, they're trying to figure out a way to just nullify all that. So we'll see what happens. But yes, there are the factions in the Ron Paul campaign that's what they're trying to do, is they're trying to slowly but surely engage in a hostile takeover of the Republican Party at the local level.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if that's successful. We'll see how much of a pushback there is by the establishment. But to the extent that the establishment pushes back, is my suggestion that gives their nominee, if it's somebody like Romney, absolutely no chance in November. And I think could be the death knell of the Republican Party, as we know it today anyway. But we'll see. So, anyway, getting to Great Britain and their national health care. This guy by the name of Kenneth Warden, he's 78 years old. He was diagnosed with terminal bladder cancer. And his hospital consultant refused treatment, saying that he was too old. He'd just go home and die. So his distraught daughter, Michelle Halligan, accepted the sad prognosis, but was determined that her father would spend his last months in comfort. So she paid for him to see a private, I guess you can still pay for it and see a private doctor there. to discover what could be done to ease his symptoms. And so we actually had she was able to pay for surgery and chemotherapy. And now 4 years later, there's no sign of cancer. He was cured, and he's 82-year-old now, working out in the gym, driving a sports car, and competing in a rowing team.
Wow.
So, but again, you know, there was that all those talks about the Obama's plan has death panels, and there's, no, not death panels. That's the inevitable result of socialized medicine, is you have to factor who gets treatment and who doesn't get treatment, because you can't give treatment to everybody, because it's not heaven on earth. There's not an unlimited amount of resources out there. They're limited, and when you let the have the government decides how these resources are distributed, it's going to become political instead of personal choice with your economic pocketbook, which to me, that's what freedom's all about. So that's what we can look forward to if the Supreme Court doesn't do what I think it's going to do, which is destroy the law, wipe out the law. But that we will indeed have death panels, as they have in Great Britain. They estimate tens of thousands of people die every year because of being sentenced to death because of, you know, they're too old or whatever. All right. We have a guest today. His name's Dave Reddick. He's running – we originally thought he was running for the LP presidential bid, but we've discovered looking at his website he's running for Congress. So we'll find out how we got that wrong and what's going on. He's from the Madison area running for Congress as a Republican, but I evidently a Ron Paul supporter. So we will do that after we break for a few messages.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its Constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats? Or regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well, then America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms of our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Diamond Jim's Gas Grill, 325 Meyer Avenue in East Dundee. at the corner of Meyer and Barrington Avenues on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings. I'd like to welcome to the program right now Dave Rudick, candidate for Congress, Republican Party in Wisconsin, Ron Madison. Dave, how you doing?
Good morning.
Let me just kind of straighten something out that I guess evidently we got it wrong on our end. We assumed at some point in time you're running for president under the Libertarian Party banner.
I was. Last summer I did that for a while, and then a better opportunity, and by opportunity I mean to promote the message of liberty and limited government. Tammy Baldwin here, the incumbent liberal Democrat in the 2nd District in Wisconsin, is running for Senate to fill Cole's seat. She's the only Democrat running, and there are about 5 Republicans. So with that seat open as my home district, I felt that was a better opportunity to.
Well, you just had a primary, so you won. I'm assuming you won the primary then in Wisconsin.
No, that's in August. So
what happened? What just happened in Wisconsin then a week ago with the primary?
Well, that was the routine spring election for judges and things like that.
Well, presidential
for the presidential primary, but the local primaries are in August.
Oh, that's strange.
That's part of the Incumbent Protection Act. They have the competitors, the contenders, fight each other and spend their money until late in the year, and then they give them only 2 months to run against the incumbent. They make the rules.
Even Illinois is not that bad, and we take the cake as far as corruption is concerned.
Well, you make up for it in other ways of corruption, so it all comes up. But my whole life of politics is to spread the message, and I was the chairman of the Libertarian Party in Wisconsin in 2006, and I'm a libertarian by philosophy, but I usually run as a Republican for the same reason Ron Paul does, because you get more press and more votes, so it's all about how best to spread the message of liberty.
Okay, and I can appreciate that because as far as I'm concerned, Ron Paul's an absolute hero.
Yep.
So I assume you're up and down the line with Ron Paul as far as foreign policy and personal rights and.
Yep, sure, I consider our current wars immoral and illegal, and about oil and defense of Israel. Afghanistan's about a pipeline to Turkmenistan. The same reason Russians went in there, because it's hard to get that oil out of those. Turkmenistan, all those Zirkistans that go east and west from the Caspian to China. Russia couldn't go north because its ports are frozen most of the time. So the pipeline goes down to near Karachi in Pakistan. The pathetic part of it is that now China is helping Pakistan build that port. So, you know, we keep Our grand plan is to take over the greater Mideast from the east of Caspian, what I call XX stands, around through Iran and Iraq to then the Yemens and Sudans and Libya. It's all about oil, and I wrote an article a few years ago that every war we've had since after the revolution, starting with 1812 and so forth, were based on lies. The government can't sell the real reasons, so they lie and try to get the people to support and mothers to send their sons off to war.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. At least since in my studies, it's been since the Spanish-American War. And
yeah, that was a big put-up deal. And how many people know that we invaded the Philippines in order to have a base in that part of the world? And then not much later, we annexed the Hawaiian Islands.
Right.
You know, it's like, now we own you. We're, you know, see you later.
So I guess we need to have all these wars lately in the Mideast for oil. because if we didn't, then the Arabs would drink the oil or just let it lie. They wouldn't try to sell it.
China, Russia, or India would control it, and we're not about to invade China, Russia, or India.
Why would they control it? Why would they control it?
Because they want it too. China is desperate for oil for its growth, because it's a net importer by far. This whole thing of the nuclear threat from Iran is all about oil. Hell, they're a member of the non-proliferation treaty, and Israel and China and Russia and India are not.
Well, I mean, Russia and China and the United States, they could get the oil through trade. It's not like, as I'm trying to suggest.
That would be too common. We'd rather steal it and try to get it all.
Well, that's my point.
And I didn't quite finish on Iran. 20% of China's imports come from Iran. We're trying to cut them off so they can't grow. China was very big in Libya. They had 35,000 workers in there building houses and oil fields for Libya. And also Gaddafi had been promoting using only gold to sell their oil for all African nations. That's a death warrant because sales of oil in dollars are the deal we have with Saudi Arabia. And it helps support our fake money. Of course, Saddam had gone to selling oil in euros. That's part of his death warrant.
Right. Yeah. As soon as he decided to do that, and now Iran's talking about
the pathetic, tragic part of it is none of it's working out very well. You know, it's not working out in Afghan because those guys really don't like to be invaded. They're real fussy about that, and they tend to fight back. And of course, then we call them terrorists.
Funny
and insurgents
thing, yeah.
And all that sort of thing. And the same with Iraq. And we finally had those auctions for oil rights in Iraq, and we didn't get very much.
I mean, they don't like us very much. I just saw a video on the internet of black what's that contractor out there? They're a part of no, it's some, you know, I'm 60 years old, and sometimes it's just it. The big private military contractor in Afghanistan, starting with the word black. I can't think of the second part of it. At any rate, saw a video of them riding down the streets with their tanks, running over a person, and it's just. And just keep on going. You have to wonder why they don't like us.
We hire?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, well, they've changed their name for the third time because they have such a bad reputation. It's just like socialists changed to liberals and now progressives because their policies are so counterproductive they have to keep changing their name.
Yeah, so we base our foreign policy on what you're basically saying is on mercantilism. That really, in the so-called Republicans, don't really believe in the free market.
It's worse than that. Mercantilism is all about tariffs and doing favors for your buddies related to imports. We're an aggressor. You know, people call us the world's policeman. We're the world's bully and thief. Yeah, I'm a patriot for our nation. And the nation is the people and the land.
Right.
But I'm an opponent of the corrupt, aggressive government we have. And guys like Bush and Cheney, this whole PNAC, the Project for a New American Century,
right,
was behind 9/11 and so forth. You know, I'm an engineer. There's ample proof that 9/11 was a deal made by the Bush administration and Israel in cooperation with the owner of the towers, Silverstein, who had a big problem on having to spend hundreds of millions to get asbestos out of those towers.
Okay. You just threw out a bombshell. So just to get you straight, and I have a lot of questions about 9/11. I'm not here today to say I know for a fact that the Bush administration was totally behind it, but there are certainly a lot of unanswered questions. What proof do you have? I mean, sincere. I'm not being antagonistic. I'd like to know what proof you have that the Bush administration is behind
it. It's very obvious that the towers were blown up. There's no building falls down that way that's made out of structural steel. And so if you, all of the photos, you know, they weren't doctored, they're various sources of photos. There's a perfectly timed series of explosions, big horizontal puffs going out sideways, 360 degrees on each floor, and so that thing just fell down on itself. Now,
that's the way it appeared. Absolutely, that's the way it appeared. The first thought I watched that is, this looks like a planned demolition.
Building 7 was even worse. That was a classic demo of a bottom up. The towers were top down, and it turns out Bush's brother got the contract for maintenance in that towers 6 months before the event, and so they had adequate access. So no one has proof of the smoking gun, but you can get convicted on circumstantial evidence if it's strong enough. And there is ample circumstantial evidence. And furthermore,
so you're not saying, but you're not saying that there weren't Saudi Arabian, mostly Saudi Arabian people involved in 9/11 that crashed the planes into those buildings.
Well, you took the words out of my mouth. Even the government admits that 15 of the 17 so-called bombers were Saudis. Why didn't
That's why we went after Saudi Arabia. That's why we obliterated Saudi Arabia off the map.
Why didn't we invade Saudi Arabia? What a joke.
Well, we both know the answer to that.
Saudis in D.C., they let them fly out of the country even though there was a blockade,
right,
et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then if you Google Unocal, what do I want to say? Afghanistan. Unocal was trying to get in there to build a pipeline, you know, the big American oil company, years before 9/11. And then the Taliban, who were the dominant ethnic group there, awarded the contract to an oil company in Brazil, which really annoyed Unocal in the United States. So instead, we invaded to take over the country. And, you know, even the government's excuse that Osama was hiding out there is hardly a reason to bomb and occupy an entire country. And what we call sheeple, the people that believe the government, accept that. It's just pathetic.
Osama bin Goldstein.
Yeah, and this whole thing of Obama killing Osama with that SEAL raid, that was pathetically a political stunt. And people believe it.
Well, we had bury his body at sea, you know, just because that's what Obama's people
wanted.
Yeah,
it goes on and on. And that video they had of Gates and Clinton and all the, you know, people reporting to Obama watching the video, that was hilarious. What a fake. So people believe this stuff. You got to be, I try to be cynical, but it's never enough.
Well, yeah, and I guess you are aware of the FBI agent was up in Minnesota who caught wind of the plot and evidently was totally ignored. To go away as far as what was going on coming up.
What are you
9/11, there's an FBI agent. Oh,
yeah, it was a female, right?
Yes, yeah. I believe
she
so.
She got ignored. And I'm an aerospace engineer. I worked on the Atlas missile program. I'm a rocket engineer, which I would point out is just below a rocket scientist.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I have some credibility. And that big crater in the side of the Pentagon, that was made of a ground-launched missile. It went through a solid concrete wall with a hole about 4 feet in diameter. You do not get that kind of penetration from a white-skinned airplane.
What happened to those people and the airplane that they assert?
And the engines and the wheels, things that do not, you know, disintegrate.
I'm a serious question. Where was it? I mean, they did say these people were in this plane. They died in this crash, right?
Yeah.
Where do they die? How do they do that?
Well, I think what they do is, you know, just like the so-called occupants of the planes into the towers, if you start complaining that, hey, you know, da-da-da, that wasn't true, they can ruin your life. they can put you in jail for phony reasons. So people are afraid to speak, not only the families of people that died, but, you know, various government employees that don't believe it. They'll ruin your life or kill you. So no one talks. And, you know, people like you and me are subject to getting rocks through the windows, and you can bet our names are on some lists.
I'll be honest with you, Dave. I feel like I'm a very feeble freedom activist because I'm not even on the no-fly list.
Well, you're not working hard enough. Yeah, okay. I mean, Ted Kennedy made it, so what's your problem? Well, the whole point is that we're a failing empire. See, I have an article on my site. And I wrote two books. One's about the monetary system called Monetary Revolution USA. And it's all about the history and where we are today and how to fix it. And I say we go to gold, so you have redeemable paper. And the other book is Rebuild America Now, which is basically all the things I would do if I were president to restore the government to its proper role and follow the Constitution. Well, it's not unusual. See, empires get large, and every empire fails. I got into this about 5 or 8 years ago because of some reading I did. And the first thing you figure out is, of course they all fail. They're all gone. UK, France, Portugal, Spain all had lots of colonies, right, worldwide.
Right.
And they all fail, and nobody thought that would ever happen when they were at their peak. But they all fail for the same reasons, and that is that their frontiers are so broad, it's very expensive to keep fighting along the frontier because they're either at war with the folks they just invaded or they just invaded somebody new. And then the people, reason two, get decadent because they're used to all these goodies coming home. It used to be gold, slaves, and wheat, and so forth. Now it's fake money. Our deal is if you don't use the U.S. dollar, we're going to take over. And so they end up controlling these countries worldwide, even though they don't occupy them. And so as a failing empire, the government gets desperate. They want to protect themselves. The Congress and president and the bureaucrats want to keep their jobs. So that's why you're seeing all this Homeland Security stuff. You know, that 200-page document or 400-page document was submitted to Congress about 10 days after 9/11. It was written in advance. And that's another piece of circumstantial evidence. And, you know, that shows it was all prepared. And the Department of Homeland Security just made a contract to buy 400 million rounds of soft-nose bullets, 40 millimeter, that are used for pistols. And the only reason would be to keep down social unrest, unquote. They're expecting riots. You know, as soon as people's credit cards are maxed out and their last shot at unemployment insurance runs out, there's going to be riots in the streets and open theft in grocery stores. And you don't have to be a vagrant or a crook to do that. Any father will rob a grocery store to feed his children. And that's why the Department of Homeland Security is getting ready to shoot people in mob situations. It's terrible.
Yeah, well, they're already doing it. Not necessarily in mob situations, but it's happening. We're talking with Dave Redeker. He's a candidate for Congress, the Republican Party, in Madison, Wisconsin area. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. That's 931-1410. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, have any questions, perspectives, give us a call, and we will be back after a few messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones.
Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19th out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected
George W. Bush
as president
and re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public schools.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Hello friends, this is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings need your help. I would like to get back to a 2-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bast, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need software installed and configured? Call John. Want to learn word processing or Excel spreadsheets? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want to upgrade your computer? Call John. Need to build a wireless network? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings. We're talking with Dave Reddick. We're talking about the politics of liberty and oil and foreign policy and 9/11. Which kind of caught me by surprise, but you know, it's actually one of my favorite topics, Dave. So,
I've got this well documented on my website, forward-usa.org. You look in the left margin, there are 8 things you can click on, and number 5 is the empire analysis, and number 8 at the bottom left corner is all my writings, including my description of what I call the true reasons of how we really got into 9/11 and all these wars. So I hope people find that interesting.
Is that foreign-usa.org?
Forward.
Forward.
Yeah, we like the word forward in Wisconsin. So it's forward, F-O-R-W-A-R-D, hyphen, as in dash, then USA.org.
Yeah, you're all progressives out there in Wisconsin, right?
Well, there's a lot of them, especially in Madison. See, I'm doing the Lord's duty because I hear I'm a libertarian, limited government guy. I have lived in Palo Alto, Berkeley, California, Ann Arbor, and Madison. And,
wow.
And that's got to be for a reason, right? So I'm supposed to be converting these people, so I'm working on it.
Well, you know, actually, but, you know, in foreign policy, some of them at least, and personal rights, they have the right. They just need a, you know, couple of courses in economics, and I think we got them, Dave.
I didn't get your point there.
My point is if you look at it from a libertarian perspective, the progressives, at least the true ones that aren't just Obama hacks, they're with us on foreign policy. They're with us on personal rights.
It's just economics.
Well,
they seem to have a problem with it. I said maybe they just need an introductory course in economics.
See, progressives like personal rights, as in social justice, free health care, free this, free that, the common good, grab your wallet, and sharing. It turns out they're always the recipient of sharing.
Oh, I understand all that. And that's the economic aspect of it. I'm talking about the Fourth and Fifth Amendment, I think actually they believe in.
Well, there's not many of them because they hate property rights. They don't like property rights. And I see that as a foundation of a free and just society. So liberals hate property rights. It's an inconvenience to them.
I call
our tax system gang theft by vote. Where
yes.
you target somebody to take their money, whether it's inheritance or doing well successfully, it's immoral taxes.
Well, it brings to mind the H.L. Mencken quote elections is an advance auction on stolen goods.
Yeah,
basically.
Well, in the speeches I make during my campaigns, I talk to a group. I say, "Is anyone here in favor of gang theft?" You know, where you're getting up with clubs and knives and overpower stuff. No, nobody's for it. And I said, then you should be against our tax system because it's the same thing except you use votes to gang up on other people. And they don't like to hear that, but it's true.
It is
and
true.
And that's part of a decadent society when nice, reasonable people, well-educated, think that's okay. And it's clearly immoral. I believe in user fees. Private charity and so forth, and that works very well, partly because you only need one-tenth as much because you don't attract lazy people to get on welfare.
No argument for me. I agree with you. I think we're in the last throes of a declining civilization.
Well, I wrote a book on the monetary system, and by the way, these are at Amazon.com. You just put in Reddick and they'll come up. But the fake money from the Federal Reserve funds all these wars and all this, these welfare programs and whatever bridges to nowhere that they build, and it distorts the economy. So that's why I target the fake money. We had a central bank in 1792 that Hamilton and Morrison put together. It got cut off. Then they started another one in 1815 to pay for the 1812 war, which is another fake war. That was to take over Canada. It started in Detroit. And, by the way, we burned down Parliament in York, which is now Toronto. That's why the British burned down D.C., a year later.
Oh, I'd never heard that in my government school history books.
Well, that's one reason the government runs the schools. They don't teach the War of 1812 or the Mexican-American War, where we invaded Mexico and stole the northern half of Mexico. I had a ranch in Sonoma County, Northern California. Its deed went back to the original Mexican owner. They went up to north of San Francisco. That was Mexico.
Right.
We stole the northern half of Mexico in the war, Mexican-American War, just like we stole the part of the Philippines and next Hawaii, et cetera.
Yeah.
And people don't want to hear that. You'll never hear the Mexican-American, the Alamo and all these heroic things. We were thieves. And because you see, Mexico invited settlers into what is now Texas to fight Indians and help get it going. But it was with their permission. And then 50 years later, we say, well, actually, we're going to declare this a republic. And the Mexican government said, the hell you are. It belongs to us. You can't do that. And that's when the war started for Texas. And then it went on to all the way to the Pacific. Very few people think of it that way.
Yes, I take your point. It reminds me of a T-shirt I have, which has American Native Americans on it, saying "Protecting the Homeland since 1492." So anyway, Blackwater, that was the contractor I was trying to talk
Blackwater, about. Blackwater, you got it. Yeah, now they're called ICR or R2 or something.
Okay. All right, we got, what do you say we take a call? We have Jeff on the line. Hey, Jeff.
All right. Yeah, good morning. How are you guys doing today?
All right.
Good to hear you back on the radio there. Yeah, I think a lot of what you're talking about is hogwash. I mean, okay, here's the one with the towers. And the reason I say this, I have a degree in architectural design. Okay, so the one thing I want to get at here before I even get any further, so that maybe Ken can throw me off, I guess. One thing is I can't stand is people getting on the radio and blabbing their mouth when they have no idea what they're talking about. Hence, are you versed? Are you educated in the design of buildings? How do you know for fact this is how it came down? Now, I'm not a supporter of George Bush or Barack Obama or anybody else. But I'm sick and tired of all these bozos coming on and telling everybody this is how the building came down when they don't know the first thing about building in a building trade.
David, you're having your credentials challenged. Do you want to respond?
Remember, I'm an engineer.
Well, so is my father-in-law.
All about
it. It seems like all the people that are engineers are the ones that are skeptics. Everybody else, forget it.
I'm missing your point, Jeff. What's your point? If you're an engineer, you know. Did he hang up?
Yeah, Jeff is done.
All right, let me comment on that.
That's the first time Jeff has hung up on us. I don't understand that.
Yeah, there are a lot of engineers that don't go along with this, you know, friends of mine. But what you have to answer is that if that building was not controlled demolition, there should have been a scarecrow of I-beams standing up there. As a sort of a skeleton that was left behind. That building was made like a milk carton. They call it tower construction. The exterior had these huge I-beams that created the structure, and they did that and then connected the floors to a central structure for the elevators, so they didn't have a bunch of towers, columns, messing up the layout of the floor. Most buildings, tall buildings you go into, there's a huge column every 30 feet that messes up the floor plan. So that's why they did it that way. Now, I hope that our architect friend is listening. Why were all those vertical I-beams cut off in 30-foot lengths or less, and some of them blown across the street? Why wasn't there sort of a cornstalk structure sticking up from these monster I-beams? When the loose floors fell through, there's no way that just gravity falling would cut off those I-beams 360 degrees simultaneously at every level. He's got to answer that question.
Jeff, call back. Jeff, I really wanted to have a conversation on this issue with you.
Yeah, this is about physics. You don't have to be an architect to understand the forces and the timing and the horizontal explosions, simultaneous 360 degrees at each floor preceding the falling. So it fell at, free fall speed. He's got to answer that.
Well, I wish he would, and I'm surprised that Jeff didn't hang on and discuss this.
That's because he's emotional, and he can't stand the argument. He's an intellectual coward.
There you go, Jeff. There's your challenge to call back real quick. Well, what you saved, I mean, again, I'm not, I'm an econ major, so, about architecture.
I have a master's in economics.
Good for you. But for physics and engineering and architecture is not my strong suit. But what you say makes sense to me, and what I saw sure looked like planned demolition. And especially as you say, Building 7. And there's certainly unanswered questions, if nothing else. And this is all being swept under the rug, just like they swept all the evidence in the rug on Waco, which is
my site. It goes into detail.
I mean, yeah, as I said, all these tragedies by government in Waco swept under the rug. We got the anniversary coming up, April 19th. on Waco, and they destroyed all the evidence from that. But there's
absolutely
certainly you combine CS gas with flashbang grenades, and you're going to have a fire.
Yeah,
and they
That was a good example of government aggression. And what they do is they get out of control. You put these guys in boots with big guns and black outfits, and they go crazy. You know, they want to shoot everything in sight. They're human beings. And they love it. They finally get to shoot somebody. And then
they become police officers later. I mean, those, but you teach how to kill in the military, and then they become
Janet
police officers.
Reno is really responsible for it.
Absolutely.
She turned them loose.
Absolutely.
And those guys used to go into town, those Waco guys.
Koresh could have been arrested any Tuesday morning on his morning jog. Tuesday morning jog.
Right.
No.
Well, it's all about lies because the empire thing ties it all together. As far as oil, as far as lying to the people, and Rome is the perfect example. Different technology, but the same methods. And the empire ties together the fake money because the government runs out of money, so they create fake money. Federal Reserve was a scam from the start. It was put together in a meeting in 1910 in Jekyll Island, run by a bunch of bankers to create a new central bank. Notice they don't use the word bank in the name. Federal Reserve System. They had to sell it to the people. They put up the regional bank so it didn't look like a D.C. operation. They passed the rule. The vote was December 23rd, 1912. Most of Congress was home except the guys that wanted this bank. So they voted it on December 23rd, and Wilson signed it. And and since then, the value, the purchasing power of the U.S. dollar has lost 98% of its value.
That's
and
true.
One of the stated goals and purposes of the Federal Reserve System, and this is in print, is to maintain the value of the dollar.
Well, I think, Dave, it's time that a movie was made that's entitled, and I'm sure you're referring to, I think, probably a book we both read, is The Creature of Jekyll Island. That as a title of a movie would attract a lot of people. Just that name, The Creature of Jekyll Island,
yeah.
and show the conspiracy that happened, that how the bankers got together at Jekyll Island, Georgia. And maybe the results, maybe what you do is you start with Greece or something. You start with the monetary catastrophes of the present day, and then you go back with flashbacks to how it all started. And I think that would make a great movie.
Well, it would. And, you know, people say, well, that meeting didn't take place. That's part of your conspiracy theory. See, that's a pejorative. If people can't argue with you, they call you a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, you're automatically a nut.
They call you a stupid fool.
Right.
And then they walk away from you just like that guy that just hung up.
Right.
And but one of the attendees wrote a book 10 years later documenting what they did. So that sort of took away their lies again. Stated reasons, the fundamental mandates, they call them, of the Federal Reserve are to create a stable value of the dollar and to maintain strong employment. That is, they publish those reasons because it would help sell the idea to the people. And they're fake reasons, and they've done terribly at both of them. They even admit that one of their functions is to be the lender of last resort.
Yeah. Dave,
your mother will bail you out if you get in trouble.
All right, so we're up to the end. If people want to go, give me one website that will get in, people in touch with you if you'd like that.
And as an economist, you know, there's a term called moral hazard. Well,
We don't have time for moral hazard. I'm sorry. Do you have a website? Do you want to throw out for people?
For me?
Yes.
Yeah, that's my forward-usa.org.
Very good. Dave Ruddick, thank you very much for being on the program today. All right, this from H.L. Mencken. Government is actually the worst failure of civilized man. There has never been a really good one, and even those that are most tolerable are arbitrary, cruel, grasping, and unintelligent.
Sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications.